Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Garage Talk Live, and I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. It is Monday, June 30th, four more days till America's birthday. Of course, all three NASCAR series were out in Kentucky this past weekend, kicking off Thursday nights with the Truck Series. Friday night nationwide was in action, and Saturday night under the lights was the Sprint Cup Series race, and we'll have a little bit up to date for that. Going out to Houston was the Verizon IndyCar Series, and out at Route 66 Raceway in Chicago was NHRA in action. Well, tonight, my very first and very special guest is a young lady who we aired earlier back in the season as the show Hillbilly Horror Show was premiering on the web, and we're doing a little follow-up with her, and she plays Lulu on the show, Cousin Lulu, so if you have ever had a chance to watch it, and I'm sure you have, you know who I'm talking about, the lovely and talented Rachel Faulkner. Rachel, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
Well, last time it was a bit of a zoo. We had everybody in here, and you were new to the series,
the whole game
and everybody like Bo and Cephas and or Scott, I should say, and had everything under wraps. Now that the season's progressing, how comfortable have you been getting, and how's the show looking so far as viewers?
The viewers have definitely gone up. I mean, we our relationship on set has progressed as well. I mean, it's, I think with any show, like, the more seasons you film or the more volumes you film, the relationships are going to automatically be less awkward. So as we film volumes, you know, the humor has gotten better because we're now a lot more open with each other. So each volume we've done has just gotten even funnier. And we just finished the third volume. We're getting ready to film two more. So we have a lot of deals that are on the way. We just locked in a DVD deal, actually, that we'll have a release in October, October 21st. And we just launched a new platform on horrorshowtv.com. And that's plays in the UK.
Wow, so you're getting out of the woods a little bit more, so to speak. I noticed
definitely.
Also you're on the Roku box as well.
Yeah, we're on Roku as well, and we still have volumes 1 and 2 on Vimeo.
Well, I can't wait till you ink your DirecTV deal and get your own channel.
That'd be something.
I think they call a chill channel, which is kind of like a horror genre. So maybe they could air you guys there and finally, you know, I guess make mainstream television and go that way. Because it seems like you guys are growing in leaps and bounds in just such a short time. I know they've added Tamara Glynn from Hollywood Halloween 5 to play, I guess, your mom. How's that working out?
Good. I mean, she hasn't been on set yet, but, I mean, that'll probably be in the works with the next few volumes.
Now, how did the volumes work now that everything's come into play? You film, I saw your pictures, I thought you were done for the season and taking some breather down in Miami.
No. Well, we film about a volume a month. We didn't get around to filming in June, though, because our writer, Blue, just actually had a baby. So, last time we filmed, he was there directing via Skype. But so Bo kind of took the primary helping out role. Like, I mean, he was acting as well, trying to control everything on set. So it was a lot to handle. And we were just working on getting more films locked in. So we were like, why not? Let's just shoot for July. And we're probably going to film 1 to 2 volumes then and get the ball rolling.
Well, that's pretty cool. I told Bo, I said, if they're going to cast somebody to play your dad, I said, I'd like to audition.
That would be awesome.
I'm about the right age, I guess.
But yeah, I mean, since we only film once a month, it gives me a lot of leeway. I mean, I just graduated college, so like you were mentioning earlier, like I'm in Miami, right? I mean, for pleasure, but for work as well. I mean, I network a lot down here. I came here this past summer, and I got a lot of modeling and acting opportunities, and that's really where I believe my career started developing last year is when I went out here. So I try to come back here as much as I can.
Yeah, it's a nice place to go, especially definitely. If you went down there in the wintertime where it's cold up here. You seem to be a beach person living across the state from me and heading down to Miami. Figure the weather down there is kind of a bit muggier than up this way.
Yeah, I mean, I'm born in the South. I'm from Atlanta, so I just love being in, like, the heat. I mean, I don't mind it at all. I'd much rather be too hot than too cold.
I don't blame you. I like the warm weather myself. That's why I moved south from up north. So
yeah.
I'm getting too old for that bitter cold stuff, shoveling and all that. But now it's good to see that the show's going good, and seems like Blue and Bo and Scott are moving it along pretty good. Then I imagine saying everything's come together now that you've been doing it for a little while. All those initial episode awkwardnesses are all out of the way, and
right.
Now
yeah,
just
we
watching,
got some tweaks out.
So I was just watching. I went on the Hillbilly site and it went, says watch us, and they're outside, and was that a bear that's supposed to that hands Scotty a beer?
Yeah, that was me in the bear costume.
That was you?
Yep.
Well, that's far fetched from what they got you playing, what they have you wearing inside the inside the train.
Well, it was super cold, so we went along with that. And I think Bo even mentioned like Lulu fetched me a beer, and that's when I come over, and it's hard to see in the bear costume, but I was thankful for wearing it because of the weather conditions in Maryland at the time that we were filming.
Well, that's pretty good. It just seems like here's your food, and is that a standard intro to the episodes? Because
that was just the intro to the first volume, but it's in our trailer as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The video platform has been a little confusing. That's why we're transitioning to Roku and other platforms as well. I mean, we'll still have the volumes up there on Vimeo too, but we wanted to expand elsewhere and try to make it as easy for our viewers to find the volumes and rent them as possible.
That's why I guess you have to go through all this to attract new viewers and build that audience. And who knows, one day it'll all come to fruition and you'll have your own regular TV station and get off the internet thing. Because sometimes it's a little tricky with different internet speeds and downloading and all that. I just finally got regular internet to where I could actually... I don't have to worry about data limits and all that, so...
Right.
Well,
that's the plan, but we have to start somewhere, so internet has to do for now, but we definitely... we're working on expanding to TV. I mean, the DVD launch was our next step, so hopefully we'll be debuting at least in some sort of TV setting very shortly.
Oh, that'd be awesome, because then it'd be easier to watch.
Yeah.
And each episode airs for how long? Because I know you can say rent for 99 cents an episode, so that's really pretty inexpensive anyway.
Yeah, and it's an hour long because it includes four short films as well as our commentary and little dialogue in between each.
And that's not too bad. Then, so you get how many days does it take you to film a volume?
Usually just one, sometimes two. For the first time we filmed, we shot two volumes in one weekend. And Friday we came down just to, like, meet for the first time in person and, go out and have a few beers. But Saturday we started filming, and then we filmed the last scene that we had to do outdoors on Sunday. So we could have really done both in one day, but due to the fact that we had outdoor and an indoor setting, we had it as 2 days.
Well, that's not too bad. Figure how much airtime between the films. Do films go uncut, or you jump in between segments?
Yeah, we jump in between segments. We usually have about a minute of like commentary, just our little comedic skits that we have, but they usually based off of the previous film that showed, or we'll be talking about the next one we're about to watch.
Well, that's pretty good. What other projects you have in the works when you're not filming that? Any photo shoots planned? Or
posting some pictures up? Down here, I'm about to work SuperCon, which is similar to Comic-Con. That's July 4th that week, so that's coming up pretty soon. And I just auditioned for a part on Ride Along 2, so they're filming that in July, so it's going to start filming tomorrow, but I'm still waiting on a callback for that. I just auditioned 2 days ago, so hopefully I'll get that part or some sort of part. They're filming in Atlanta too, so I may be in Atlanta for that as well. And just I've been receiving a lot of emails for TV shows too back in Virginia with the Discovery Network, so once I get back home, hopefully I'll lock in some of those.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
You'll have to message me what's going on so I could give you a plug out.
Yeah, definitely.
Or whatever. Do you film on the western side of the state, any?
The western
Virginia?
Side of Virginia? No,
Virginia.
I haven't yet. I think the farthest west I've really been for work, not that it is west. I mean, I've really only traveled for work in Virginia to Richmond, Charlottesville, and then like the Hampton Roads area out there. I actually went to Roanoke once. That was for a bridal magazine shoot for the Roanoke and New River Valley Wedding Planner magazine. So that's probably the farthest west I've been.
Well,
from Virginia Tech.
Well, Roanoke is, you know, it's about an hour and a half from here. New River Valley is a little bit, I don't know. I'm in Bastion, so I don't know if it's New River Valley, Mountain Empire, or the Highlands. I don't know which weather. Which TV station you watch, I guess. But no, I was saying, if you're out here sometime, maybe we could meet up somewhere and
definitely.
I meet you in person instead of. It's not that I mind having you on, because I like having you on and Bo, and I know Bo's got his season premiere tonight. I just found out of his other show.
Yeah.
Nobody told me. I would have tried to get him on, but.
Well, he was at a play tonight as well. I tried to get a hold of him earlier, too. He's been super, super busy himself.
Yeah, he's winning all those awards for The Cabining.
Yeah, definitely. The Cabining is doing really well right now. They just got back from L.A. for that.
Well, glad to see things are picking up for Hillbilly Horror Show, and can't wait to... For you to get things set up with your TV mom, or I guess that's what you call her, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
That should be interesting how that's going to play out.
Right. Well, I think we've been talking about some deals, so hopefully something will happen pretty soon, and we'll definitely be in touch.
Well, that's good. So like to thank you for taking some time out of your day and enjoying that nice weather down in Miami.
Of course.
So, the three of you could play, look like the new rendition of Charlie's Angels, so I guess... You ought to audition for that if the role comes up.
Yeah, that would be pretty sweet. Hopefully they can have a remake of that someday.
Well, at the rate that they're going in Hollywood, they're remaking everything two and three times over, so...
Yeah, that's
who knows? Because you figure they did the movie a few years ago, and... I think the people in it are in their 40s now, so they need a younger batch.
Right.
Well, I'd like to thank you for joining me and keep in touch on Facebook, I guess, and keep me posted on what's going on and
will
see
do.
What's happening. And And thanks again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Take care now.
All righty. Take care.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
There you have Rachel Faulkner from the Hillbilly Horror Show. Joining us here. And she's, you can see her, I guess, new episodes monthly on hillbillyhorrorshow.com. And you could check her out. She's a nice young lady who joined us in the beginning of the show with the rest of the cast, including Bo Teaster, whose season premiere of Gallery of Guns will be on it in about 15 minutes, or you can catch him again at 11:30. We've got some new products they're testing this year, and we can get one of the hosts on, Anne Marie Rhodes, who is his co-host, former Miss Sprint Cup. That's where the connection comes from, folks. That's why I have outside interests on, and it was good to see that they're back and on the air, and get to find out about some new products. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, my partner Tammy will be calling in from Pennsylvania to talk about the dirt world. She's been writing for some magazines and pictures being, takes a lot of pictures, and now she might have some other news to break, so we'll let her take care of that. As far as the racing this weekend goes, go to the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series out at Route 66, the Route 66 Nationals in Chicago. In the top fuel division, it was number one qualifier Brittany Force, who went all the way to the finals looking for her first win, coming up against Antron Brown. And this was the second time they faced in the final, and the results were about the same. Brittany fell a little short to Antron. She posted a 3.85 to Antron's 3.81. Reaction time was pretty much dead even out of the tree, so that 0.04 of a second made the difference, and it was only about half a dragster of a gap. That's how close it was. So that was her second trip to the finals. She's probably going to break through one of these times. Last year's Rookie of the Year, she joined us quite a bit. Maybe I'll try to get her on. We'll try to get her back on, and they're on a swing where now they go to Norwalk, Ohio, and I think 4 weeks in a row. So this will be week number three, and next week we'll be at it again. And in the funny car division, the winner was Matt Hagen, who's the defending, who's the champ from a couple of years ago. He went up against Tommy Johnson Jr., who has returned to the track this year. They're being away for a little bit, and he's starting to come on strong. And Hagen won with a 4.098 to a four to Johnson's 4.14, and it was that close. Johnson had to get through some tough competition, starting off with Tony Pedregon in round one, Tony's brother Cruz in round two, Courtney Force in round in the semifinals to face Hagen, and Hagen had a not so easy time of it either, following going against Fast Jack Beckman in round one, Bob Bodie in round two, Ron Capps in round three, and then And that was his trip to the finals. Rob Height still maintains the points lead. And in the funny car division, Doug Kalita holds the points lead in the top fuel division. Next, we come to the pro stock division, the regular car, so to speak. They just have big work motors and clock in at 200 miles an hour. They run a little further. They run the full quarter mile. Nitro cars, of course, down to 1,000 feet. The winner turned out to be Vincent Nobile. He was facing Jason Lyne in the finals. Lyne had to pass going through Mark Martino in round one to face Shane Gray in the second round, Dave Connolly in round three. Nobile had Jonathan Gray in round one, Jed Coughlin in round two, Shane Tucker in round three, and the hole shot win in the final to take the Wally with a reaction of 004 to Lyne's 031. Nobile had Lyne had the lower ET at a 6.63 with a 7 to Nobile's 6.65 with a 5. That's where that reaction time to start the clock gets going, so it gives you that much more of a jump getting down to the finish line. But right now, as far as points go, Erica Enders still holds that as they work their way down to the countdown to the championship, which is the final six races of the season, kicking off with a return to Z-Max Dragway in Charlotte. That's all after Indianapolis, which comes up in a few weeks. So the drag racing series is moving along pretty good, so it should be pretty interesting. Now the NASCAR into the truck series. The seemed to be that the weekend could have went one of several ways. So we started with the truck series here, and Brad Keselowski, who probably had things turn out different, could have won all three races this weekend. And the way he was running in the truck series race, he wound up making a pit stop, and one of the crewmen was making an adjustment and left the adjusting wrench in the back of the pickup, and when they dropped the jack, took off, and had to come back around. Basically, it was a self-penalty and took him out of position. He did manage to make his way all the way up to fifth, but he was running real well and could have won. Kyle Busch wound up winning the race starting from the pole. His teammate and protege, Darrell Wallace Jr., who won just a few weeks ago, came in second. Ryan Blaney finished third. Peters was fourth. Like I said, Brad Keselowski was fifth. Matt Crafton was sixth. Austin Dillon, hopping in a truck for the weekend, was seventh. No, it wasn't the number three truck. Eighth was Ron Hornaday Jr. Ninth, Johnny Sauter. And tenth was Ben Kennedy. So, as the points go, the pretty quick race, 150 laps, average speed was 130.9 miles an hour. Margin of victory is 1.84. Race took an hour and 48 minutes. So, clean race as far as that. There were 6 cautions for 23 laps and 7 lead changes amongst 4 drivers. And Kyle Busch leading the most laps. Leading 4 times for 91 laps. Pretty much ran the race. In the nationwide race, Brad Keselowski again in the 200 lapper led 3 times for 138 laps. Was cleaning everybody's clock on the field, but he wound up speeding down pit road. And that's not something you usually want to do when you're in a dominating form out front of the pack. Kyle Busch led a bunch of laps. He led 38 laps as well. But in the end, it was Kevin Harvick, who had 10 lap fresher tires on the final restart, wound up passing Kyle Busch with about 5 laps to go and managed to take the win. Of course, the race took 2 hours and 15 minutes and 33 seconds. Average speed, 132.79 miles an hour, a couple mile an hour faster. Margin of victory, 0.928. Keselowski, who suffered that speeding penalty, made his way all the way back to second because he had fresher tires than everybody, but he had to start 23rd at the back of the pack. So when the restart came, he just had to mow them down, ran out of time. If he had another 10 laps, I think he could have caught Harvick, but wasn't the case. So Harvick takes the win, the closer there, and the number 5. Brad Keselowski with his second place finish to Kyle Busch, who finished 3rd. It's helping with the owner's points championship battle between Penske and Gibbs there. Because those two battled for it last year with the 22 getting the owner's title over the 54 that Kyle drove. And that was done with several different drivers. So Paul Menard wound up 4th. Ryan Blaney filling in the number 12 for he came home 5th. Brendan Gaughan was 6th. 7th was Ty Dillon. 8th, Brian Scott, Kyle Larson, 9th, and Elliott Sadler rounding out the top 10. As far as points go, Elliott Sadler leads the points, 4 ahead of Chase Elliott, who had a pretty decent run. Where did old Chase finish? Finished 12th. Sadler's 10th was only a 2-point difference there, but Sadler did lead 1 time for 4 laps, so that gave him a bonus point. So that helps with the 4-point advantage. Otherwise, it would have been a 1-point gap. Actually, 3-point gap with 12, 13, 14, yeah. Reagan Smith was 3rd. Ty Dillon is 4th in the points. Brian Scott was 5th. Trevor Bain, 6th. Brendan Gaughan, 7th. 8th, James Buescher. 9th, Chris Buescher. 10th is Landon Castle. So there's your top 10 in nationwide. We'll be going over to the Cup race in a little bit. So talk about that in a little bit. But right now, we have the Indy race to talk about also. But right now, what I'm going to do, we've got some audio from the weekend, and we'll be world. don't have no audio. We have some audio from the Nationwide. Post-race, and here's Kevin Harvick.
Our race winner, Kevin Harvick, he drove the number 5 Kroger P&G Chevrolet for JR Motorsports. He's joined by his crew chief, Ernie Cope. Kevin, congratulations on this win. This is your 42nd NASCAR Nationwide Series victory, your second victory in this series in 2014. You've won here twice now at Kentucky Speedway in the Nationwide Series, and certainly was an exciting ending to how it all turned out. And maybe just talk us through the race and how you thought things unfolded there. And certainly a big win for the Kroger and P&G folks, because they're huge up in this area. So congratulations on that. And maybe just tell us about the win here tonight.
Well, we weren't even coming to this race 3 weeks ago, so if it wasn't for Crest and Prilosec, you know, we wouldn't even – you know, be here. So we're thankful to have those brands on board. First time Crest has been in the sport. So it's always fun to introduce new sponsors to the sport and see the enthusiasm in Victory Lane, because it's just both times we've had the P&G brands on the car, we've been to Victory Lane. But all in all, it was a very strange night for us. You know, in the beginning, you know, our car wasn't that bad. We needed an adjustment. Had some things happen on some pit stops, and you know, and so we pitted and put 4 tires on, and everything kind of fell our way on that particular run with a full run, and we were able to get a little bit of a tire advantage there at the end. And then they just made a really good adjustment to the race car that allowed us to really take off and run the best we had all night. So. It was frustrating in the beginning. It's been a frustrating weekend. This place is really frustrating for me and all the other drivers, just for the fact that it's really hard to get a hold of. It's been a very long 3 days for the Nationwide Series in the garage. But in the end, you know, those are the guys you want to race for the end, are, you know, the 22 and the 54. And I don't remember who else was there, but those are the guys that have had the 2 dominant cars over the past couple of years. And we tried a lot of new things tonight, and you know, it worked out. So I feel like we've got a good path. I feel like everybody kind of caught up to where we were at the beginning of the season, and feel like we're moving in a new direction. And you heard Dale talk about the tie, that a lot of Hendrick engineering in the trailer this weekend to try to, you know, tie things together even more. So it's been fun to watch it progress, and I don't know that they really knew how to take me in the beginning, but tonight they've seen how high strung I can be. Ernie knows, but you know, I think all of them are not used to the high strung nature that I have. So I'm a little bit more intense than some people.
Yes,
of course, Harvick Chiefs are hard complaining about the setup store after a pit stop, and. He was not too happy with that, but they did get it on board and put it all together. And do have race winner Kyle Busch after the truck race on Thursday. So here's what Kyle had to say after his win.
Our race winner is Kyle Busch, and he drove the number $51 General Toyota to Victory Lane tonight for the 4th annual UNOH 225 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race here at Kentucky Speedway. This is Kyle's 5th win in 2014 in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. Milestone 40th victory tonight in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. And Toyota continues to impress across the sport. This is its 10th straight win in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, dating back to Eric Jones' win at Phoenix last November. And this is the longest active win streak by any manufacturer in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series. So continued congratulations to Toyota and Kyle and Eric Phillips, crew chief. And then finally, Kyle, had a perfect driver rating of 150.0, which is about it's as good as you can get when you're running a race. So congratulations, Kyle. Talk about running here at Kentucky Speedway, certainly a place that that you've come to master across all three national series. And just, you know, talk about how you're performing in the Kendra World Truck Series this year. It's nothing short of dominant.
Well, thank you. Tonight was great. It's just a great opportunity to drive good equipment and good stuff, and really proud that my name's on the door. But most I'm proud with Eric Phillips and all the guys, everyone at Kyle Busch Motorsports, all the hard work and dedication and everything they've done to build really good trucks, and you know, they've done a great job for me. So you know, it's been neat to see Eric Jones and Darrell Wallace running pretty well as well too, and seeing Darrell come home second tonight was pretty great, especially him getting back in traffic like we both were and being able to methodically work his way back up to get to second place. So, you know, I think it says a lot about our company. I think it says a lot about where we've come from and hopefully where we're going, you know, and what we've been able to accomplish not only last season with Eric Jones' win at Phoenix, but then again this year with Bubba being able to win St. Louis and Eric having some strong runs as well too. So, you know, tonight was just another one of those nights. Love coming to Kentucky Speedway. It's been a good track for me over the years, and you know, 9:30 didn't strike again tonight like it has in the past couple of years. So, you know, that was good. Eric made some good changes to the truck and kept up with the racetrack all night. So, you know, all I had to do was do my part.
There's your race winner from Thursday night, Kyle Busch in the Camping World Truck Series there. When it come down to the Cup Series, it was, I guess, the final race of the weekend and the final shot to do it, because Brad Keselowski wound up leading. He was dominating yesterday. He led seven times for 199 of the 267 laps run. Whatever mistakes he made on Thursday and Friday, he did not make them Sunday. He started from the pole, pretty much led flag to flag. Only other leaders were second place Kyle Busch, who led once for 31 laps, and then Joey Logano, who led five times for 37 laps. It's been a pretty regular event where the Penske cars are running one and two, or at least qualifying one and two, getting all the way to the staying up front there. Of course, Logano had a problem late. He said his car was blowing up, the temperature climbing around 255 degrees, but he did manage to hang on for a ninth place finish there. But it was Keselowski's day. It was his second win of the year, his first ever from the pole. The average speed, the race took 2 hours, 51 minutes, and 59 seconds. The average speed was 139.7 miles an hour. Margin of victory, 1.04 seconds. It seemed like once Brad K came out in the clean air, there was nobody that was going to catch him. Being the fact there were only six cautions for 34 laps, so it was a fairly clean race. And then, you know, you get events like that where you had 21 cars finish on the lead lap. It would have been less than that had the cautions not come out, because there were six lucky dogs. So it was a day there Keselowski couldn't complain, couldn't worry about. If he would have, he could have swept the weekend had those two mistakes not been a problem, because he was catching everybody. And then on Sunday, he wasn't able to be caught. So as the point standing comes into play, with that win, the points leader is still Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson second, Dale Earnhardt Jr. third, Brad Kay is fourth. All four of those guys, except top four guys, have wins. Jeff Gordon, the only one with one out of the top four, was Jimmy Johnson three, Dale Jr., and now Brad Keselowski with that win gives him his second, so he's a multiple winner. He's locked in. Fifth in the points is Kenseth. Carl Edwards was sixth. He's got a couple wins. Of course, winning at Sonoma gave him his second win. Joey Logano, who's been having a tough time, runs good and then has some problem with the car. He's got two wins. He got those early. He's seventh. Ryan Newman, who's winless, he's eighth. Good third-place finish, I think, for Ryan this week. Ninth is Kevin Harvick, who has two wins. Kyle Busch is 10th. He's got a win. Paul Menard is 11th. 12th, Kyle Larson. 13th, Greg Biffle. 14th, Clint Bowyer. 15th, Casey Kane. 16th, Tony Stewart. But neither of them have wins. Going down to 26th, Kurt Busch has a win. He's in the top 30. He will get a shot in the chase and probably bump the 16th out. So that still remains to be seen if he can dig himself out of the hole, get another win or what. If he winds up, I think, below the top 30, I don't think he makes the chase. With winning being the emphasis, it should be kind of interesting. Rounding out the top 10 in the race, of course, we gave you Keselowski, Busch, and Newman. Fourth was Matt Kenseth. Dale Jr. had a pretty respectable fifth-place finish. Sixth, Jeff Gordon. Harvick was seventh. Casey Kane got past Logano on the last lap for eighth. Joey ninth, and Jimmy Johnson rounding out the top ten. So it's been pretty good for Team Hendrick this year. And you got to watch them out. Do I think Jimmy's got a shot at another title? Definitely. We still have another Dover race coming up and the chase, so we'll have to see how that plays out. But next week we're going to Daytona for the second half of the season. So that being said, we're going to wind up going over that and making our picks. Well, right now I'd like to bring to the show Garage Talk Live North photographer, writer, and all-around dirt tracker, motocross champion, and whatever else you do up there, Tammy Allman. Tammy, hey.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, not too much. Trying to get some feedback from dirt land up north there, running around bike riding and getting cars ready and hitting about three or four different small tracks up there.
Well, I'm actually at the garage right now getting our car ready for tomorrow night of our quarter midget team, the quarter midget that I own. It's going to be up at Grandview Speedway for the Thunder on the Hill Racing Series. It is the 410 Sprint cars and the Big Block Modified Showdown tomorrow night, and they're bringing in some of the quarter midget stars to let them have a couple laps on the track, and we're lucky enough to be one of the cars getting to go. So we're here putting in a new gasket in the motor and topping it off with some oil and getting it all ready to go.
Now, who's your driver?
My driver is Allie Herbst. She is 13 years old from Morrisford, Pennsylvania. We this year got really lucky. We picked up some great new sponsors, West Main Diner and Brian Sharp and Focus Shops, which Drew Weiser comes down and has been helping and everything. And we're getting better, and thanks to West Main Diner and Brian, we are actually able to run a 160 motor this year, which has given us a lot more power that we need to be a little bit more competitive. So we've had two races on our new motor, and we're looking forward to it. We're getting better and better every time and getting that setup dialed in for our driver and looking forward to seeing our victory lane real soon.
Wow, that's interesting. When did you buy a car? You never told me.
I've been crewing for Allie now. This is my second season, and we've been spoiling her rotten, and then we've made a decision that in 2015 we're going to be fielding a three-car slingshot team that's going to be racing at Kutztown on Wednesday evening. It's going to be myself, one of our sponsors, and Allie going to be driving each of the cars.
Ah. So what's this new gig? Do you want to plug it? Being recognized by TV's Bob Gilmer?
I get to send some of my photography work in every week from Grandview Speedway into Speed 51 and Bob Dillner's Bunch for some of their race reports on Grandview Speedway. So it's a pretty cool honor. I'm really excited about it. I couldn't believe it when I got the email yesterday. But, yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, there's so many things going on, and I got to get my rear end in gear, too, with National Motorsports Network and On Pit Road. I got to get my stuff going with that. And I write weekly for Grandview Speedway. I'm going to be writing weekly for Big Diamond Speedway. I went back to racing motocross, part to full-time. We're going to be out this weekend training, so we're going to take the holiday, and my home track is actually going to be throwing a barbecue for all of us riders and having some fun, so we're going to take the whole troop up, all the kids and the other half times in.
Wow, sounds like you still have the day job, or?
I do. I still work full-time as a research and development engineer. Like I said, I have no life, but I love the life I have, so life's perfect.
I don't know.
And we can work on the modified,
you have
too.
A little bit of a life.
we get to travel a lot.
You seem to be a lot happier on your posts these days. So.
I am, and contrary to popular belief, I can cook. So I have someone that can vouch that I can cook really well.
Yeah, your picture. I don't know. You turn girly on me. Seems like you're all dolled up in the profile picture.
Well, that was we went out on the bikes that night, so I had to look like a biker chick.
it didn't look like a biker chick. It kind of looked more like a chick chick.
I'm not supposed to look like a chick chick. No. I'm a motocross champion. I'm not allowed to look like a girl.
Well, let me go back and look at that profile pic. You look like a girl.
I look like a girl. I know. I do dress up once in a while. I tease. I say once in a while I do go out in public without jeans and a T-shirt. I actually wear a dress and some nice clothes. So not often. So it makes people appreciate it.
Do when you go to those banquets and collect all your awards.
Yeah.
You don't want to look like a guy just won the Stanley Cup with a couple of missing teeth. And
No, yeah. I do have to admit, I do love when I get to go to the banquets at the different tracks and I do like when I get to dress up like a girl and get to have my princess time, as I call it, because when I do go to them, I'm always in a full gown. Just to me, that's what a banquet means. You're getting recognized for your work and everybody else's accomplishments, so you dress full gown. You don't go in your jeans and your T-shirts or anything like that, so that's one of my little pet peeves.
Well, what are you going to do, right? So what's up for Grandview and Big Diamond this coming weekend? Anything good that we could all... go check
we
out.
Do. Well, we have
the
racing tomorrow night at Grandview Speedway. It's Thunder on the Hill Racing Series. Make sure hashtag TOTH Racing. I am going to be giving guided pit tours again. I have a couple drivers we're going to get to meet with and check out the cars up close and personal before the racing action starts. And I love taking the fans to the pits and getting the drivers and the fans connected. I think that's a great accomplishment. My son's going to be up there with me, too. He's going to be shooting in the pits. It's his first time shooting. He's not old enough to go in the infield yet to shoot with Mom, but it's okay because he's going to be working the hard area, so it's going to be really cool. It's the second time I get to shoot with him. What was that?
You have to be 18 to go in the infield?
I believe it's 16, but he shoots on Friday nights at Big Diamond for me, so Patrick's work's really getting accomplished and recognized, so he's following in his mom's footsteps pretty well, and really proud of him because I can't believe how good he's doing in just such a short amount of time. He's got me beat already. He's you know, pretty much every time we submit, he's got his work in the newspapers, and he's just an amazing kid, and I can't say enough about what he's doing and his work that he's doing and the level he's shooting at. So he's
maybe
making some of the old photographers turn heads.
Maybe you ought to follow him around.
Well, that's what I tease him. I said, you know, maybe I should just make you set up my camera for me. And he laughed. He goes, no, Mom, you know what you're doing. I'm like, yeah, okay, if you say so. I said, I just take pictures. But, yeah, we'll be out there tomorrow night with Bob Miller's Thunder on the Hill Racing Series, and I can't wait. It's the 410s. We don't get to see them that often, and they're coming to town. And the big blocks, oh, I love when the big blocks come to town. There's some pretty big names they're saying are coming in for this, so it's going to be some really, really good racing. It's $25 for the adults, and kids 6 through 12 are $5, I believe. So you want to make sure you get out to Grandview Speedway tomorrow night and get there early. This is one of the few races that will actually be a sellout normally. There is normally standing room only by the time this night is done. And with the action you're going to see, it's going to be worth every penny. And just make sure you get up there. And then Wednesday night we have quarter midget racing at the Phoenixville Quarter Midget Race Club, which is down Township Line Road in Phoenixville behind the Moose Lodge. Come on out. It's free to watch. Cheer these little kids on. They start at the age of 5 years old, and they range up until 16 in different classes and categories of cars. Again, you know, the five-year-olds go out there and race just like the big kids and the adults, so make sure you come see them. Thursday, I got off this week, Speedway, and I'm drawing a blank. We're going to have pre-race party with hot dogs and hamburgers, DJ, all kinds of stuff going on, and I just drew a blank, but we do. It's a big race, and I can't remember the name because I wasn't ready. I can't think of it. I don't have any of my paperwork or anything with me. Like I said, we came up to the garage tonight to work on the car. But go to BigDSpeedway.net or find them on Facebook, Big Diamond Speedway, and check out their schedule. You definitely want to get up there Friday night to see the racing action with the modifieds, the late models, and the Roadrunners will be in action. And I'll be sitting in the tower scoring them and keeping track of where everybody's at. But I want to see all those fans in those grandstands. And then Saturday night we go back to Grandview Speedway again for my favorite night of the year when it comes to racing. I'm a late model girl. I was brought up with late models. That's how I learned how to work on cars. My start was with the late models. My mom and aunt crewed for Tom Morton, Damon Padulka, and John Geisler when I was growing up. And then as I got into the sport, my mom had moved over to Rick Totterow, as did my aunt, and I went with Lou Wegry. And Lou and his gang taught me everything I needed to know and ever wanted to know, and then some, and I'm still learning. I mean, there's still so much to learn. But they gave me my chance, and that's why I'll ever be in debt to the late model division for everything I've learned and the way they've always treated me like family. So this Saturday night, the late models take center stage at Grandview Speedway for the Firecraft, a huge event for them. The late model drivers are amazing guys, and as always, they go above and beyond the call of duty, as Corey Fleming and his team have donated 6 bicycles to be given away to 6 lucky young fans. It is tradition at the Firecracker 40. He's been doing this for several years now that they give away the bikes. We also have the switchmen and the modifieds on the card as well. But I'm going to tell you right now, all I care about that night, and I love my teams all to death, but the late models take center stage. And it's just, it's amazing to see them have center stage in the 40 laps, because these guys put on a phenomenal show week in and week out, and it's so great to see them get to do this, and it's not often they get to be center stage. Modifieds and sportsmen, they get big races throughout the year. The late models get one bigger race a year, that's it, and that's a Saturday night. There's going to be fireworks and intermission time for all the family to enjoy. It's $25 for adults, and 6 to 12, I believe, are $5, if I remember correctly. Pits are $30 to get in, and, you know, it's a show you're going to want to get there and see. It's a great way to celebrate such a 4th of July holiday, to come up with the family, see some great racing, see some fireworks, come out early and picnic in the parking lot. You can tailgate all day long. Parking's free on the ground. So, you know, I want to see everybody at the tracks this weekend. I want to see them getting out there and supporting your local dirt tracks and supporting your local dirt racers, because, you know, this is where our Jeff Gordons and them came from. You know, Jeff Gordon came up through quarter midget ranks. Well, Wednesday night, come see our quarter midget racers run at Phoenixville. You never
That's
know,
right,
you could be watching the next Jeff Gordon.
They go from quarter midgets to sprints.
Yep,
well,
they go from a lot of them
have gone
quarter midgets
and
modifieds in our area, or late models. You know, like we've had Mike Lace and Todd Smith and the Counter Brothers. They, you know, Danny Snyder. They've all come up through the ranks of quarter midgets, and now they're out there being this, you know, the big star that they are today. Mike Cooler. I mean, all these guys, they started in quarter midgets, and now you're watching them win week in and week out at the Grandview Speedway. It's just really cool. So, you know, come out and support your little guys and girls that are racing.
And then if they go big time, they forget about everybody, and it's.
No, that's the one nice thing is as they grow up and all, and the fans follow them, they appreciate the fans even more because they followed them throughout their careers.
Well, I'm saying when they get to the NASCAR levels and they start to get really big and.
They still remember where they came from, though. There's always that one fan that'll remind them where they came from.
Oh, that's for sure. And I found out where the local dirt track around here is.
Good, you better get there and go check them out.
It's called With County Speedway. They run every Saturday night. I think the tickets are $10.
There you go.
This weekend.
You can't beat pricing.
This weekend's 4th of July weekend, so I'm kind of chilling it this weekend. So I don't know. There's a car show on the 4th through the town of Whitfield. They shut the town Main Street down. They have a really big car show, and then there's fireworks after that. So.
See, it's cheaper to take the family out to a night of stock car racing than it is to go to an amusement park. You know, our local amusement park is Hershey Park. It's $60 to get in for the day. For $60,
that's a cheap
I can
one.
Take
imagine
you know, a family of four.
Well, Great Adventure, or whatever they call that now, Six Flags, or...
Oh, yeah, it is a lot more than that.
Or go down to Disney World and try to get in for $60.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you're going to have more fun watching the stock cars and everything going round and round in circles and watching the battles. And everybody gets so caught up in the watching the leaders. Don't just watch the leaders. Watch that entire pack. That mid-pack to back-pack section, that's where you're going to see some of the best racing. Because the leaders are going to dice it out, but they're going to still be a little bit cautious because they don't want to wreck each other. You know, and for the most part, the drivers all have learned to drive with respect. You know, there's still some out there that have forgotten what it means to respect their fellow competitors, and they will stick their noses where they don't belong and cause big mishaps, as we've had this past weekend, which was kind of disappointing because, you know, I've seen some of these seasoned drivers year in and year out, and it's like, you know, you've been racing for how long, and what were you thinking? You know, and I'm thinking about these poor teams right now that I watched Saturday night trying to figure out how they were even going to load their cars and trailers because somebody didn't use their head. And I think about these teams that just can't rebuild because they can't afford it. Well, you know, this is when the fans really need to get up there and support their racers. And, you know, if you own a local business, support these drivers. You don't understand how much $100 or $200 can mean to a team. And it's going to mean for your business at the same time because of the advertising opportunities.
That's true. So it helps them out. It helps you out. And,
yeah, it's a win-win. Like, if your kid's having a birthday, give one of the teams a couple bucks and say, hey, can you put a happy birthday sign on? You know, just anything to support your local drivers.
Right. Oh, well, I better let you get back to working on your car.
Yeah, we got to go finish putting this motor back together and putting it in so we can go and show her off tomorrow night.
That's it. I want to see you post you got a W up there.
Well, we're working on that. You know, every week she's getting faster and faster and getting more comfortable to having all the power. So it'll be happening before the end of this year, and I can't wait for it to happen. I'm ready.
Now, this driver of yours, she's a young lady, 13 years old. Is this her first trip in a car?
No, she's been running for, I believe it's 3 seasons now. I picked up last year with her to try and help her get better. And, you know, we had some really good results towards the end of last year, but with the motor and the weight difference, it just wasn't going to work. And we were struggling, and we got really lucky, and we picked up some help this year, and they recognized that she has talent and helped us out with the motor. And I just can't thank Brian enough for everything he's done for our team. You know, Brian has helped us out with the motor and helping me get her started every week because, you know, we are at a disadvantage. You know, we have a 377-pound total weight with a car and driver. And minimum weight for our class is 325. So we're still over where we need to be, but bigger motor, it's a lot easier now for the car to compensate for the weight difference. So we have a lot of potential. And Drew's been coming down, helping us out with our setups and working with her and teaching her lines. So, I mean, I can't thank Focus Shocks enough for their support this year, and I can't thank Brian and West Main Diner for their support. I mean, if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we're at today.
Gotcha. All right, Tom. And you want to make a pick for the Coke Zero 400 in Daytona?
I want Smoke.
You want Smoke.
That's an easy choice. I want
Smoke. You're picking with your heart, not your head again.
Well, no, Smoke's got to drink the Coke.
Okay. Well, I'll post it up on there. And you could. I'll post the picks up on there and go to our Facebook page and put it on up there.
Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you later.
See ya.
Bye. There's Tammy, my partner from up north, working on her own little venture there with a young lady driver. So, yeah, good for her. Get somebody else into the sport. We get somebody out there and show up Danica in a couple of years. Danica qualified 10th, finished 21st. Seems like she's... There's something missing with that, whether it's the car or her, I don't know. But anyway, let's take a look at this weekend's Saturday night's Coke Zero 400 at Daytona. Of course, Dale Jr. won the Daytona 500 this year, so you really can't rule him out at Daytona. Talladega, he messed up. He didn't drive it the way he drove Daytona, and it cost him. I'm going to go with Jr. on this one again. Man, that car's running good. So go to our Facebook page, which is Garage Talk Live, and make your pick. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you all next week. Of course, there will be no NASCAR on Sunday, but you'll be able to find some type of motorsports on. I think NHRA is in action, so they'll have eliminations on Sunday. So we'll see you all next week. Good night and good racing.